What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and thank God for this beautiful day. Dear Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts poured out for you and for love of you. We ask your presence here among us. We know that you are with us, but we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us in our time of worship today. And we pray blessings upon all those who are here. We thank you, Lord, that they are here and that they are your children and your servants in this world of need. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's great to see all of you here. If you're visiting with us for the first time, I invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew. We do have some visitors here who are here for the first time, and I thank you for being here. It's great to have everybody here. We'd like to just thank you for being a part of our worship service. While you're here, you're one of us. You're part of our family of God at Calvary. And when we leave this place, we go representing Christ to the world so that others too may know the great love of God, our Savior. Let's worship with the passing of the peace.
Amen.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. My name is Larry Rood, and I will be your liturgist for the month of September. You have your bulletins. On the insert are a number of announcements going on this week. If you are on the trustees or would like to be on the trustees, please show up at the meeting. We have on Wednesday night, we have another nominations committee meeting at 6 p.m. If you're on the nomination committee, would you please stand? Folks, if you would like to fill any position in this church and you feel a tug on your hearts, God is calling you, see one of these people that are standing, myself included, and let us know. Nominations is a very tough job, and we have a lot of positions that need to be filled. So please, listen to the call of God. Reminder, next Sunday, 5 o'clock, feeding the body and soul, supper and a praise time afterwards. Go out and invite your friends, your neighbors, and come. Enjoy a wonderful meal and fellowship, and then a time of praise afterwards. A couple of announcements that are not in the bulletin. Monday night, take these glasses off so I can see. The religious communities in Clay County are responding to the events in Charlottesville and across the country by praying for unity and peace. We invite everyone to join us for a spirit-filled evening to praise God through song and reflections. It's Monday night at Grace Episcopal Church, and starting at 6, is that when?
6:30.
Starting at 6:30. If you feel lead to sing, be there at 5:30. For a community choir, yes. Second announcement, we've been hit, this country's been hit by a major storm once again, with another one soon to follow. Last year, many of you remember we did the flood buckets. We're doing them again. After the service today, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. After the service today, there will be a short video letting you know how you can help. Also, the ushers have the sheet that tells even more, and the flood buckets will be, we're going to collect them here and then take them up to Lakewood. Is that what?
Lakewood Methodist.
Okay. Lakewood United Methodist Church is going to be the collection spot, but we will be collecting them.
We have to have them by the 17th.
Okay. 17th of September is when we have to have them by. If you would turn to the back of your bulletins for the opening words.
Hey,
yes. Oh, yes, Betty.
Yellow cards.
Yes. In your pews are yellow cards. If you have a prayer request or a praise, please make sure that you fill them out and put them in the offering plate.
Sorry, one more. That praise thing is on the 11th, not this Monday.
The
Unity service is on the 11th of September, not this Monday. Thank you. That's what wives are for, is to keep us guys straight. We come from different backgrounds, different histories, different places. We follow the name Christ, who leads us into new life. We have different faith experiences, different ways we have known God. The same Christ calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Through our lives have been different, the same Christ calls us now. May we enter this time of worship, remembering that Christ makes us one. Amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, or you now have the options to take the Faith We Sing, which is a new book that you'll find in your pews, and turn to 21:29. Either or. You got the screen or the book. We'll sing I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided.
be seated.
It's time for the children to come forward. Do you have children?
Yes.
Perfect students, right? And you haven't made any mistakes in school ever, right? Raise your hand if you're a perfect student, 100%. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, we do make mistakes. We do things wrong, and so we're in good company because Peter, the disciple of Jesus, last week he declared that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and he got an A+ for that. But this week, when Jesus told him, oops, she feels so bad about her mistake, she just has to go. She just has to go. This week, Peter says that Jesus must not suffer and die. Jesus just got through telling him that he was going to be the rock to build the church on. But then Peter says, oh, but you must not suffer and die. And what did Jesus say? He said, get behind me, Satan, for your mind is on human things rather than on divine things. So he went one moment being the A+ student, and then the other moment to being sort of the he made a huge failure. Right. But guess what? God could still use him. God said to him, get behind me, Satan. And he was talking about the temptations and the failures that we all go through. The way to deal with those things is to get behind Jesus, to remember that we're following Jesus. So even when we sometimes say or do things that weren't the best, we can still follow Jesus if we remember to get behind him. Everybody can remember that? You can't be perfect, but you can follow Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for this day and for the children. And we pray that they continue to grow in your grace and strength and have mercy upon them in their lives when they need it, especially, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There you go. Now you may have some candy. You're welcome. Ashton, you want some candy? All right. You want a different one? Continue to worship God this morning with the giving of our gifts, our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, that we do not have to be perfect, but we must say that we are following you. We must open our hearts to you. So be with us and give us the strength and ability to follow you when it is sometimes hard to do so. And we pray your blessing upon us this church and its members, that you will continue to use us for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have an issue with this particular song in that we don't quite have enough pieces of music sometimes. And it's mostly because Rhonda Barlow likes to take it.
It didn't have a name on it, so I put my name on it.
Thank you.
turn to your hymnals, your red United Methodist hymnal to page 7 and 8. We will make this invitation. I will make this invitation. And then as a united church, we confess our sins and declare our pardon. But I have to make it clear that this table is not my table. It's not Calvary's table. It's not a Methodist table. Whose table is it? God's table. And that means all are invited. All are welcome to come who seek to know and love God better. That's what the invitation says. And that's what we want you to do. So let's join now together. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
I kind of went in a little bit different direction. After I first started planning this sermon, I gave it the title, Get Behind Jesus. And so I want to think of something slightly different and think about if you can use your imagination today and imagine that you are Peter. One moment, Jesus is saying to Peter, you're the rock on which I will build my church. But the next, He's saying to Peter, you are a stumbling block, from a rock to a stumbling block. That kind of reversal probably gave Peter whiplash and had to be painful. So I want you to imagine that you are Peter. But Peter's difficulty is that he couldn't imagine. He couldn't imagine that Jesus came not just to comfort people, but also to free them. Comforting isn't that hard. Just give them a little more of what they already have and tell them things will be all right. That's what we want to hear. But freedom is different. Freedom requires that they see that what they have isn't life-giving in the first place. Now, you need to know that when Peter declared that Jesus was the Messiah in last week's scripture, he was probably thinking about King David and that Jesus would be a warrior king, come in to get rid of the Romans and liberate the Israelites. And that's not an unreasonable hope on Peter's part, because the Romans were a foreign occupiers imposing their law, taxing the people to support their occupation, and backing up their occupation with force, if need be. So Peter's expectation is not unreasonable, but it doesn't change anything. Rome is there by force and violence. In this view, Jesus, as a warrior king, would use greater force and violence to drive them out. And eventually, therefore, someone with even more force or willing to do greater violence takes over yet again. So who's in charge changes, but the cycle of force and violence keeps on going. But that was what was expected of Jesus. And he knows this. He knows that he is introducing something different. A different kind of logic, one that runs on forgiveness and mercy and love rather than retribution, violence, and hate. So he challenges the powers that be. He knows that this cycle of force and violence will not tolerate his obstruction, but eventually run him over. So he knows, and he tells Peter, I will suffer and die. And Peter could not imagine. So it isn't really surprising that Jesus was killed. From the moment of his birth, he is a threat to the rule of the Roman Empire. And Herod was willing to slaughter all children under the age of 2 in the hope of destroying him. That was how they kept control on people. They scared them through violence. So it wasn't a surprise that Jesus was killed. What's surprising is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection changes things. Resurrection means that Jesus' life and love and sacrifice will ultimately prevail. Love wins. the cross will prevail. Now, it's hard to imagine if you're Peter, especially in light of how prevalent the forces of violence seem to be in power in this world. But Jesus today, back then and now, for Peter and for us, invites us to something different. Lives that are shaped by love and forgiveness, and actions that are shaped by compassion and hope. But it's also very hard to imagine. Like Peter, what we want is a little more of what the world already offers. Whether it's force or security or wealth or status or popularity, what we want from the world is more of the world. But he didn't come to comfort us with a little more. He came instead to free us. And freedom means realizing that we've settled for something that isn't life-giving, so that we can now hear God's promise of not just more of the same, but something different. So that we can hear God's promise of life. A promise that means something that we'd previously accepted as life has to die before we can have true life. The question we must ask ourselves, as Peter must ask himself, is that whether you're ready for something different, for something more. Can you imagine the life that Jesus promises? And I think that depends on whether you've accepted what the world offers is all there is, that these different things being offered to us, forgiving someone who wronged us, being open-handed and generous with our resources, offering to God our future rather than planning each and every step. These things often feel like death at first, like even dying on a cross, before God uses them to raise us to new life. So it's an act of the imagination, but we take small steps forward and trust that God is at work, using us, giving us a taste of life that we never thought possible, multiplying the impact of our actions far beyond what we've dreamed. Until suddenly, just as it feels like we've lost our lives, we have found them for real. Can you imagine this morning that God is in work through your life for the good of the world? Can you imagine that this congregation has something of value to offer to our community? We do. Can you imagine that when you befriend the lonely or encourage the frightened, heaven rejoices? Can you imagine that though afraid, when you stand up to those who spew hate, God is with you? Can you imagine that even these small acts of ours of love and generosity challenge the world order, the cycle of force and violence? Can you imagine that God wants for us not just comfort, but true freedom? Can you imagine that love wins, that love is more powerful than hate? Can you imagine, my friends, can you really imagine the way Peter could not, that God raised Jesus from the dead? Well, I'm here to say, we can imagine. We believe here and now in the life-giving promise of the Messiah, who came not to give us what we want, but what we need. It matters more than you can ever imagine. Amen and amen. The act of imagining really is made possible not through our own efforts, but every time we come to this table, it becomes a little bit more real, this promise that we have, this promise of new life for you and for me. So we come to the Lord's table and remember that when Jesus shared a meal with his friends, he took a piece of the bread and he said, "This bread, ordinary, seeming unimportant, is my body, and I break it for you. When you eat this, remember me and be thankful." He also took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful." The Lord's table, not my table, not Calvary's table, but God's table, is an open table because all have been invited. And remember, the promise begins when you say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I need your help. I need you. I need to lean on your promises." So I invite us to come. The choir will come first, and then the ushers will lead you and guide you to come and kneel and take these gifts offered freely of bread. Will the choir come? Thank you.
Please stand and look to the screen behind me. We will sing Change My Heart, O God. We'd like to invite anybody who might be looking for a change in their heart to come down to the rail and get some attention from our pastor.
Stay for about 3 minutes. It's a short video to watch about our hurricane recovery and response in the Methodist Church here in Florida. Our bishop is speaking to us. You may also pick up one of these to show you how you can help if you want to help in the recovery efforts for Hurricane Harvey. And also there is another sheet you can pick up from the ushers about the Unity service. It's a community-wide service on September the 11th at 6:30 at Grace Episcopal, a week from tomorrow. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place. Go in His peace. Amen.
Porterfield got a whole new supply of blinker fluid if anybody needs any.